Welcome into the latest episode of the Five Reasons Podcast. I'm Ethan Skolnick, here as always with Chris Whittingham. Now that you've found us, make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your favorite podcast provider. Also, check out all of the Five Reasons Sports podcasts. Type in Five Reasons Sports, and you'll get all 15 of them. Also, we're on the web, fivereasonsports.com. That's spelled out F-I-V-E, reasonsports.com. Couple new columns every day. In addition, all the latest breaking Miami sports news with a little bit of edge, and all of our podcasts in one place for both Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. So no more excuses about not being able to find us. Also, go to our merchandise store. It seems like the most popular thing on there is actually our wrestling stuff. Our Smart Your Territory t-shirts have been selling, so go check that out as well. All right, today we're going to kind of move right into Chris's wheelhouse. I'm here with Whittingham. We're actually in Dade County right now as we speak, just barely. Our office is off I-95, so we're a little bit east of wherever I live anyway. And right on 95 and just south of 125th Street. And so we're in Dade County. And this is where the soccer team was supposed to be. Now, not right here, not in this office, not on I-95, but a little bit further south of here, somewhere in downtown Miami, whether it was going to be on the Bay, whether it was going to be at Mel Reese, whether it was going to be in Overtown, one of those many, many locations. It's not going to be there, at least not for a while.
No, and it's not just going to be in Broward County. It's going to be in pretty north Broward County, as north in Broward County as it gets before you reach into Palm Beach County. Like, it is, I've driven there a couple of times in the last week. It's pretty far north of 595, which is kind of, I think of as the middle of Broward.
Right.
But it's up there. It's up there.
It's up there. It's actually very close to where I went to high school. So I went to Pinecrest, which is not too far from there. Pinecrest off Cypress Creek. And this stadium is going to be off of Commercial, and of course it's the site of the former Lockhart Stadium, and I can say former because they just tore that thing down.
Well, they tore down a ticket booth. They have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do there. and the other thing too that I imagine is pretty sad for you is they're tearing down the Fort Lauderdale Stadium, which I imagine you would have been to
many times.
Yeah, more than a few times.
Well, I was
growing up here in South Florida.
I was a Yankee fan growing up, so I was there a lot. I saw Dan Pascua hit some monster shots there. He and Kevin Moss. The next Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
I mean, you could probably recite more players from that era than you can now,
no,
right?
Oh, no, it's true.
Like, it has to be incredible.
Oh, the 86 Mets, man. Like, I know. I not only do I know the entire 25-man roster, I know every call-up from the season. And now if you ask me to name six Mets, I'd say Syndergaard 12 times. It's changed for me, obviously. I grew up with baseball. That was my sport, that and hockey. And now all we do on this podcast is talk basketball and football. And now today we're going to talk soccer. So,
yeah.
And I have an interest in soccer because I did play that growing up as well. And my daughter is big time into it now. She just kind of went to a birthday party and just started dribbling. And we were like, oh, my God, look at that. And so now she's going on five and she's playing with seven-year-olds and she loves it. And so I can relate to, the interest in soccer in this market. But I guess the big question is, and it's the same question, we've been asking two questions about this side or club or team or squad or whatever you want to call it since the very beginning. And the two questions were really this. Will South Florida, first thing, will it ever happen?
Sure.
And now it does appear it's going to happen. So it's not going to happen the way we thought it was going to happen, but it's going to happen. And the second question was, will it work?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem now is that the first question is bled into the second.
Sure.
Because it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen where it was supposed to happen.
Right, and it's not going to happen, as you said, in the way in which it was supposed to. I mean, when David Beckham came here 6 years ago, he had visions of a waterfront stadium. He wanted to be on the water because I think he thought of Miami kind of in the way that people that come passing through here do, which is that it's about the beaches, mm-hmm. it's about the nightlife, it's about on the water, and I think in some respects, that's kind of the deeper, or that's sort of the very surface level thought of Miami. And I think what he's come to experience over the 6 years is what Miami actually is from a political standpoint, from a work you need to do standpoint. It's a hard city to crack it in. Mm-hmm. And I think he's found it to be a lot harder than he thought it was going to be. It has to be the thing in his life that's come to him the hardest, maybe other than actually growing up and playing soccer and reaching the highest level. But I mean, in terms of since he's been famous and using his fame to get him just about anything in the world, that probably has been pretty easy for him, except for getting an MLS team in South Florida. But yeah, I mean, you're right. The way in which this has come about, it bleeds into the question of will it work. They started a ticket drive yesterday. I'm already getting calls from ticket reps. They're trying to sell deposits for the first stadium for next year, and I talk to a lot of diehards, right? I know I know members of all three major supporters groups. All of them tell me, like, a lot of them listen to Pitch Invasion, the soccer podcast here on the Five Reasons Sports Network, because I think we're covering soccer here in Inter Miami pretty damn well there. But I know they're going to be there. And someone told me yesterday, mm-hmm. who lives actually right by the Mel Reese Golf Course, like, dude, they could have put this thing in Jupiter and I would have been there.
Right.
And I'm in the same category. They're just people that are so into this that they're going to be there. But that's not who really we're talking about. That's who's going to fill an 18,000-seat stadium week in, week out, in midweeks against Columbus Crew. Like, that's just not the, you know, there isn't a lot of glamour always in MLS. And so can you find the 18,000 people that'll be there week in, week out? That is yet to be determined.
Yeah, and a lot of it does have to do with location. And you mentioned it is a little bit north, and it's north of 595. And 595 can be, pain in the ass certain times of day. It's not quite the same pain in the ass as what we're looking at out here,
yeah.
because we're close to the Golden Glades. But this plays into it because people who are coming from Miami, a lot of them are going to take this highway up, and they're going to be crawling like these cars are crawling now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the express lanes and you get to Broward, and then once you get to 595, you're crawling again.
Yeah.
Just to get past it, and then you got to go just a little bit west when you get off of Commercial. Also, the other thing about that area, there's some stuff on Cypress Creek now, but there's not a ton on Commercial West.
No.
And so, it's not, will things be built around it? We always hear that it never happens. And the other thing about Lockhart was it's kind of sunk in there. It's not right on the street. It's not on the main thoroughfare. You've got to drive in a little bit. It is problematic. Now, I always felt, and I want to talk about the Marlins on this pod, because I think the Marlins play into a lot of this.
Yes.
Okay? But I always felt that, and part of this is a selfish thing. When I was living off Las Olas, in downtown Fort Lauderdale, which is a little bit south, obviously, of Commercial and Lockhart, but I always felt the best location for the Marlins Stadium would have been Broward Boulevard West. That's what I felt, because mm-hmm. you were drawing from Palm Beach. You look at baseball in terms of what their market is. I thought getting the entirety of South Florida made sense right off of 95. Like that,
especially now, Brightline goes right there.
Right, that one made sense. Las Olas was close enough that people could spill out and go there. You look at the most successful baseball stadiums in the country. I was at the first game at Camden Yards. Right, I was at one of the first games at Jacobs Field. Those were stadiums that were built right in the heart mm-hmm. of their cities. Arizona, the same thing. Colorado, the same thing.
Which is why MLS is fighting for this, because there are some stadiums that are right in the thick of it, and those are the ones that have worked.
Right.
FC Cincinnati is trying to do this right now. They're building a new stadium, but Portland is right in the middle of town. Seattle is right in the middle of right in the middle of it all, where it all happens. And I think in kind of the mid-2000s period, MLS would have been fine putting a stadium in the Lockhart area. They didn't stay in Miami because the owner was bad and the league was in really rough shape. They've come a long way mm-hmm. in the 20 years since. But, basically the MLS team in Chicago plays at the equivalent of Lockhart Stadium there, where it's way out of town. It's hard to get there. The MLS team in Columbus plays out of town. The MLS team in Denver doesn't even play really in Denver. They play in Commerce City, which is kind of a suburban town. The Dallas team plays in Frisco, which is a suburb 35 minutes from town. I know because I went there for the Miami LSU game, and there was an MLS game that weekend. It's a long haul to get there. Right. It's like a 40-minute Uber to get there. And for someone who lives in Brickell or in downtown, or Wynwood is now developing and people want to live there, it's a long haul to get to Lockhart Stadium. And they're all, really the big sell for me of this club was always going to be how cool can it be? And it was really trending that way with David Beckham, with the election campaign, with the rollout of the logo. It looks cool. But now they're going to be playing in a place that is associated with the exact opposite. Can they build a place that's cool? Can they build a whole atmosphere and a scenario around the stadium that's cool? Maybe they can, but right now, I kind of think of that as sort of a lame place to go. Again, it's a dilapidated hellhole now that's being torn to the ground. Can they rise, in 10 months, which is their construction idea, something that is going to be a cool place to be?
Well, they're going to need to put stuff around it. You can't just have the stadium and that area. The only thing over there is that little airport that executive airport. There's just not much there. But let's get into the Marlins here a little bit. And like I said, I thought, Broward Boulevard for the Marlins always made sense, in that downtown spot, Las Olas. People think, oh, it's Fort Lauderdale, it's not Miami. Fort Lauderdale's better than a lot of major league cities, okay? Mm-hmm. In terms of what you have on Las Olas Boulevard and bleeding into the beach.
They really should have a team.
They should have a team. But it's just
And the Panthers don't count because it's so far west.
Right. The Panthers are basically in a gated community.
Yeah.
Sunrise, that's what you're at. And I don't know if the Panthers would have succeeded if they'd been good because we haven't seen it. You know, maybe it happens this year with Quenneville, but I'm not going there again because I've done this with Dudley and Keenan and DeBoer and thousand other coaches.
Well, we did it last year just based off the promise.
Right. The promise never pays off. But, you know, the thing with the Marlins is, and I polled this yesterday and a lot of Marlins fans, there is a Marlins contingent on Twitter that there's a virulent strain of Marlins fans.
Yeah.
That just will, and you and I have been very fair to the Marlins, I believe, very fair in terms of the Jeter regime, but and understanding where they've come off of the Loria regime. But there's a strain of Marlins fan. You cannot say anything negative about their team. In their eyes, Christian Yelich has never hit a home run that counted. and so this group, I put it up there basically to troll them. I said, you know, I polled it. Would you, if you knew that this soccer team could get a prime space in Miami – if the Marlins had just left,
yep.
In other words, had not bilked the city mm-hmm. and the county for that stadium and just left, but you knew Beckham would get his team in a spot, would you be okay with that? And 43% said yes. That's a pretty high number, 1,200 votes. That's
and I think, I mean, if you sold it as we're going to tear the Orange Bowl to the ground, kind of like, I mean, it's kind of what's happening at Lockhart now, where you're
right.
replacing a stadium which for the people of Broward has a lot of history. But if you tear the Orange Bowl to the ground, but you replace it with a 40,000-seater stadium that's going to host an MLS team and the University of Miami football team, I think a lot of people would sign up for that immediately.
Well, if you threw UM in there.
Yeah.
If you threw UM in there. But the Marlins play into this because, that to me is the biggest thing Beckham's been fighting.
Yeah.
Is that nobody, it doesn't matter what he proposed. It makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believed it.
Right, right. Nobody believed every time he said we're not asking for tax dollars. It's all, and I would get it in my mentions all the time. So what are we paying for this? So how are we getting swindled? How are we getting swindled? And now you know the advocates and look, I admire people like Billy Corbin on Twitter that want the best for their community and they're always on the hunt for people who are trying to take advantage of communities. I think they're being a little overzealous in terms of their opposition to the overtaking of the golf course. You can say green space all you want. First off, it's flyover green space. It's not actually green space. It's
right.
it's a golf course that you have to pay like $95 to get on. The only real association people have with it is either driving past it on the 836 or flying over it to get to MIA. A lot of people don't use that green space. And maybe it is a real estate grab. And frankly, noticing yesterday out at the site, it's also a means for Jorge Mas. It's actually kind of diabolical in a way. I hadn't really thought of it because we don't really associate owners with, well, what do they own? What do they own that could bring value to the team? For a lot of teams, it's, well, they own a company that could then sponsor the club. What I hadn't realized that, I mean, Jorge Mas basically owns an infrastructure company, right? They get a lot of contracts and they do a lot of things that it's all about infrastructure. He's building his own stadium with his own company, basically.
Right.
If you look at the signage outside of the stadium, it all says MasTec. And so he's basically building his own stadium. And so in some respects, he's kind of giving himself work. But I think you've seen the Marlins after effect with every time. I mean, I've been to city government meetings as much as mm-hmm. I don't want to. I have been and listened to commissioners make the case and members of the public. There was like a 5-hour public comment for one of them when the mail race idea was initially pitched. And so how is this like the word Marlins gets thrown around so much, and that's the legacy of it. And even this ownership group has said the word Marlins, like the Marlins legacy has tainted this for us, and it's made it hard. And again and again, you see how difficult it is for in Miami, because ultimately, it's not necessarily that any politician is that opposed to the idea. It's they're opposed to when they're up for election, when they're being remembered 20 years from now, are you going to be the commissioner, the elected official that said yes to another stadium in Miami when it got mayors recalled and it's a black mark against every politician that signed up for it? People here in Miami will hate the politicians and David Sampson for doing that deal for the remainder of time because of how much tax dollars went into it. And is anyone really going to have the political will? What is the political will for someone to say yes to another project when it might harm their political futures?
But he's a follower of Five Reasons Sports, and I've known him a long time. But like David Sampson needs to just shut up about this, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he caused it, right? Like, I mean, he caused it. They caused this, and yet he's on there. I admire the chutzpah, to use a term that David and I from the same tribe would share. But, like, it's unbelievable to me. I mean, it's like you swindled the city. Now, congratulations, stop talking about it.
Yeah. Stop taking a victory lap. Like, what are you celebrating?
Right. I mean, it's remarkable.
In fairness to him, he did his job, right?
But his hatchet job for Loria, right?
Well, I mean, it's not just his hatchet job. His job is to increase the value of the Marlins. He did. He undoubtedly increased the value proposition of the Miami Marlins and what they were worth. I mean, hell, they got $1.2 billion for the team, and at least in part, that's because, you know, $480 million worth of taxes, you know, spread out over 30 years that might be paid out at a number even higher than that, are going into the stadium. So he did his job. I do think, though, and this is the one thing that Inter Miami really struggled with for a long time because they didn't have local owners, is that I do think a sports team is not just a business. And I get it when people like David Sampson say that, and he's also been talking about the minor league thing where you don't bring up certain players, and that makes sense from a business standpoint. I do think you're not just the owner of a sports team. You're the custodian of a major gathering point in a community. And I do think that the Beckham Group struggled to understand that for a long time. Jorge Mas certainly gets it a lot more, but I still think people are dubious of him and his endgame. I'm not. I think that he's obviously been willing to put his money into this. It's a lot of money that you would have to in order to build two stadiums, but he's clearly willing to do it because he wants to make this work. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, I just don't understand why you can't tell the difference between the Marlins and Inter Miami, but I do get that when the Marlins did not necessarily uphold their end as custodians of a community, you know, centerpiece, why every fan now is sort of dubious of it all. I mean, the Dolphins dealt with it when they asked for state taxes. I think they got some public backlash for that. And then when they didn't get it, they were kind of laughed at that they didn't get it. Obviously, I mean, the Heat, I'll be interested to see how that ends up going because they have a new rights deal to negotiate and the mm-hmm. county wants that. Because of their success, that there hasn't been nearly as much scrutiny on their deal to get their stadium. But at the time, it was a hot-button issue. This is now a major sort of political third rail that you just don't touch. You just don't touch this third rail. And I think you see it again and again. Inter Miami struggle with this. The crazy thing is that they show up in Fort Lauderdale, and this is sort of what the conversation we wanted to have. So they show up in Fort Lauderdale, and within 2 months, they're done.
Right.
In 2 months, they're done.
Well, because Fort Lauderdale's desperate for something.
Well, I mean, and not only that, but we have this stadium that we don't know what to do with. Our voters passed a referendum to fix this place. Even if it's just to tear it down and put a park there, that's enough, you know, as a replacement for the dilapidated hellhole that's there. But Fort Lauderdale, I mean, they get it done straight away. You're right. I mean, there is an incentive for them. They want to be seen as more pro-business. They want to be seen as a city that's growing again. And, you know, having David Beckham standing in the city of Fort Lauderdale and having, you know, the – I mean, I imagine still even on the television broadcast, they'll show you video of South Beach.
Of course.
But
like Miami Gardens across the street from the racetrack – gas stations.
And yet here I was thinking that Hard Rock, you know, was right across the street from the Colony Hotel.
Right.
Who would have thought? But, yeah, I mean, it might still be a video of South Beach, but Fort Lauderdale is going to be, you know, showpiece for an international club. It makes international headlines every time they do anything. But, I mean, it is remarkable having seen this process, even with legal challenges. It started and ended in like 3 months. They submitted a proposal. It was approved. And now they're working and already – you know, a bulldozer is at least taking out some of that stadium. I mean, that is such a difference for Miami. They've been trying for 6 years, and they're still not over the line. In Fort Lauderdale, they get over the line in 3 months.
Well, I wonder like, if they...
I get why they want to do this.
I wonder if they look back and then think we just should have gone to Lauderdale 3 years ago just to get it done. I mean, I understand trying, but like... But what's funny about Lauderdale is that there are certain things that never get done. You look at Riverfront, which has been,
falling apart
of itself
for a while,
15 years. Like I lived down there. Like that was when Riverfront was first built. It was like this, you know, sparkling. It was like, oh, you know, we don't have to go down to the Grove. Like, okay, we have this, you know, this area. It's right on the water. Venice, you know, the Venice of America and all this, which, you know, Fort Lauderdale with all the canals and everything else and the big boats and the bridges and all that. And it was a great spot. And then it sort of started to fall apart slowly. And I was in, you know, kind of my late 20s, early 30s living down there. And you know, you go down, you know, on the west side of Riverfront and there were all sort of the bars and everything. And those are still there. And then they rebuilt the other side of Las Olas, the east side of Las Olas, and it's beautiful with all the restaurants and the ridiculously high rents where the stores are in and out of there. But the part in the middle, Riverfront, never got rebuilt. So, you know, look, there are other things happening in Broward. you know, you look at, you know, what's happening at Hard Rock with the new guitar is almost up with the hotel, and that's going to be a huge destination once they finally get that finished, where I know your family lives and I live down in Pembroke, you know, Gardens and stuff.
Yep.
They've created something, out west. The biggest mall in the world, or in the country, is going in my backyard, okay,
yep.
Right in Miramar, right by the turnpike, right on the county line. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening north of Miami. Sorry, Giancarlo Navas and others in our network who want us to move. By the way, watch party next Tuesday. We should mention that.
Yes, we're in Miami.
We're in Miami.
We're in Midtown.
Tap 42 in Midtown Miami. We're finally going down to Miami for the NBA draft lottery. Tap 42 will have free appetizers. You can buy your own beer and sink your sorrows when we don't get Zion. but it's an NBA draft lottery party starting at 7 o'clock. But there's a lot of stuff going on in Broward, but they don't have a team other than the Panthers. And like you said, the Panthers are west, and there's some other stuff going on there. Metropica's going up. You've got Sawgrass Mills and everything. But the team has been so bad that it just, you know, I mean, I hate to say it because I know there's a dedicated, very small fan base, and I like going to Panthers games. It's close to where I live. But if they left, it really wouldn't make a huge impact.
No.
And honestly, if the Marlins left it at this point,
no.
It wouldn't make a huge impact. And so, you know, we're trying to get a sports network up by trying to care about all the teams. But the reality is we know where the numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess let's go to this to close. So in the context of the Marlins and the Panthers, and in the context of being in not even central Broward County,
yeah.
but north, sort of not even west, but kind of north central
mm-hmm.
in terms of the east-west designation, is there any chance? I mean, I'm assuming the players are now going to live. A lot of them are going to live on Las Olas, actually.
You think,
those
yeah.
condos that are going up like every block. But can this team pass the Marlins and the Panthers? Because I think the ceiling is fourth, right? Like the ceiling is
yeah.
it's fourth. I mean, it's like the Dolphins can be horrendous for the next 20 years. They're not going to drop out of the top two. And neither are the Heat.
And no MLS team really across the country is reaching that territory, except in cities where they don't have all the major sports, right? Portland is like that. Seattle, they kind of, you know, they're there, thereabouts with the Mariners. And then, you know, obviously the NBA could potentially come in there. The NHL is going there. But, I mean, there just aren't MLS teams that carry, particularly from a television standpoint, that level. But to me, it's can they sell the games out? Are they attracting stars, and can they win games? And I think the answer to all three of those questions is yes. I don't know. I would love to find out from the club, and I'll certainly try and ask and find out from as many people as I can how the sales of those deposits are going, how their ticket sales are going. I mean, really, there aren't very many places across America where new MLS teams are failing to sell out and failing to draw crowds, but if it doesn't go well in the first year, if there are, you know, kind of boring games in midweek, there are certainly chances to see empty seats. But I just don't know. I don't know
right.
If you're from Miami. I mean, realistically, the thing that I think helps MLS most is the schedule. For the most part, they play Saturday night at 7 p.m. And there aren't as many traffic concerns.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't as many difficulties with getting to a stadium. It's just it's not. They'll play a lot on Sundays too. Like they very rarely play in the middle of the week. It's almost entirely Saturdays and Sundays. And I just don't know if it'll be that big of an issue. I just kind of wonder, you know, particularly during the summer months, the time slot for Univision is Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
So there could be like some 4 p.m. games in June. If there isn't enough cover for the fans, are you going to sit in the sun? Are you going to go if it's raining, for instance, which a lot of people certainly make that decision for outdoor sporting events. It's raining. I don't know if I'm going to go.
Right.
So there are those concerns. But I honestly don't know what the dynamic is going to be for fans wanting to come from Miami-Dade. And also, if there aren't enough from Miami-Dade coming, do they have enough credibility with Fort Lauderdale by virtue of what's happened in the last few months, by virtue of just being aware of this team? Are the people of Broward going to support it?
Right.
You know, almost as much. And then obviously what happens, you know, as news starts to come in about their move potentially to Miami, if that lease does eventually get approved by the city of Miami to start building a new stadium, what happens when they start to maybe transition to another facility? I don't know the answer to those questions, but from a Broward point of view, I'm interested because this is their chance, really, to support a major sports team.
Their other chance was the Panthers. But the Panthers
haven't given them a chance. That's not Fort Lauderdale, though. It's not not Fort Lauderdale. It's Broward County.
But there's actually more families out there.
I don't think this is families though. I don't. Soccer is not families. Soccer for me, that's done well. It's not families. It's young adults. Mm-hmm. Young adults from bar and pub culture that want to do something cool.
There's no bars and pubs over there. See, that is what they have to align here. If this stadium was west of Broward Boulevard, west of I-95 off Broward Boulevard, where you could get a shuttle to Las Olas,
yeah,
that's bar and pub crawl. I mean, they have pub crawls on Las Olas. They have pub crawls on Himmershey. You know, you go, I mean, a lot of it's changed. Tarpon Bend's not there anymore, but there's a lot of places you can go. Township, whatever. Okay, go down the street. Okay, you've got YOLO, et cetera. You start there, you walk down the street, and you can go all the way down to the beach. If you're going to create that atmosphere, that's great. But like you said, I mean, again, I'm a Broward person, so I'm familiar with all this. You're talking commercial to Oakland, to Sunrise, to Broward Boulevard, right? And then Broward Boulevard, there is no exit for Las Olas, so you've got to go. It's between Broward Boulevard and Davie. So you're talking basically 3.5 exits, okay, which that can be cluttered over there because you're close to 595. Mm-hmm. So going south,
yeah,
okay, it bottles up near 595. So you could be talking about going, and you know, I haven't done Waze, whatever you call it, or whatever the thing is, you know, to figure out, you know, how I'm not as high tech as you, but I throw on my GPS, it sends me the wrong place. But if you leave the stadium and you get through, even getting through sort of little traffic grid that you might have there when you're leaving the parking, and you're probably talking 20 minutes to get to Las Olas. Mm. Now Saturday night, maybe not. Okay, yep. Saturday night, maybe not. Maybe especially Saturday around 4-ish. Well, if it lets out at 7, if it lets out at 10 o'clock, it gets a little bottled up near 595 at that time, and people are going to Las Olas. But you can get probably off of Broward Boulevard in about 12 to 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. But it's a different situation, again, if this stadium was just west on Broward Boulevard. Now, I understand why they put it where they did, but they're going to have to – there's warehouses back there.
Yep.
I mean, they got to...
It's mainly... I mean, that whole area, we used to work there where the CBS Interactive building
right.
is. It's basically a bunch of corporate offices.
That's all it is.
It's and a corporate park, basically.
Right. So there's nobody... There's nothing of value there for anybody on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. And it's not even like a movie theater you go to. It's just nothing. They're going to have to create something. Now, in some places, like even smaller cities, they've done this. Like you look at... it doesn't always work because the team hasn't been good until this year. They're okay. But like the Orlando Magic, when they built the new arena, they just created like two streets. So there's the one main street. I always forget the name of it, but the main street.
The church?
It might be church. The downtown Orlando. But then they built like sort of a cross street that has a few restaurants and bars and a hamburger
place. And the Orlando City Stadium is like right down the street.
Right. So they've created a little something. They're going to have to create at least, I mean, look, what we do better in South Florida than anything else is strip malls. Like, that is what we do.
Yeah.
So, like, they just need to create a couple of, you know, little streets. That's it. Okay, with
or even create something on premises, right?
Right. Three or four bars, something, where there's a place to go afterwards where you can watch everything else, hang out. You know, maybe if you're talking about during the summer, not going to be NBA games or anything like that, but I think that you have to create something because there's just nothing over there. And look, that was to me to be the same issue with Mel Reese. I mean, people talk Miami like everything in Miami is glamorous.
Yeah.
Everything in Miami is not glamorous.
No, it's not.
Okay, now, if you're going to be near the Heat Arena, okay, where at least Bayside's not great, but at least it's something, right? And you are across the causeway from South Beach, and you can go to some pockets of downtown Miami, and you're not far from Midtown and from
Brickell and all that. Not that far from Wynwood.
From Wynwood, right, which has become kind of the spot. Like, there are places that you can go down there. But the Marlins Stadium, they haven't built anything.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
Yeah. And that's sort of part of the idea with you know, basically redoing the golf course is basically creating that of your own, right? And trying to, you know, basically, while you're also running a soccer stadium, you're also running a development business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the idea there. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know if alone the 90 minutes of a game on Saturday is enough to draw 18,000 people there, just because I really only kind of know take it or leave it people, which are either, you know, they're all the way in. I mean, I know people that live in Kendall that are willing to make the drive up just because of, you know, what, right. how much they like soccer. And then there are people just all the way out where it's like, if it was in my backyard, I'd close the drapes.
Can they draw Boca? Because to me, that's good. Look, if they can draw Boca Del Rey, Boca to commercial going that direction, 25, 30 minutes, right? If they can draw Boca, I think it's going to be hard to draw from the west at times. Can they draw Boca? Because if they can get there, there is money there, as we know. But they put a stadium, an FAU stadium there. The team's been pretty good. Not this past year, but I mean the year before with Kiffin. I went to the bowl game there. There was nobody there.
And it's impossible to get to in turn. Like if
it's off 95.
No. I mean impossible to get to like on a game day. Like yeah. I went there for a U.S. men's national team game.
Right.
And the stadium was half full.
Right.
It took me an hour and a half to get to my parking spot. Like it was a ridiculous bottleneck. So I mean obviously the game day experience goes into all of it. I just don't know like what, because you're saying Boca and Del Rey, and to me like, I think of it as it's a young adult fan base now.
Right.
And I don't know the best way to reach that group. I think also the TV and radio rights and all that stuff will play a big role, because there are some teams now that are going to streaming services,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't know if you're building fan base that way. What happens with the Fox Sports Florida moving to Sinclair now, and whether or not they still maintain their relevance having the teams, and if you can get on those networks, that would be great as a means of cross-promotion. But I just don't know the math for the 18,000. They got to fill 18,000 seats. I think the stadium will be pretty nice, because I was talking to someone there who described to me the way that Vancouver Stadium was built. It was a temporary stadium that they used before they moved back in. Their full time stadium there was a construction on a roof. And so they built one of these kinds of stadiums. It's called a modular stadium that they basically – it's already built. They just have to piece it together. And it ended up being really nice for Vancouver. But I don't know if that stadium is going to be nice enough. And I don't know what the calculus is. And maybe they're doing research on this. They kind of have to do research for two sites right now. What their fan is going to be at that site, how much they're willing to travel, how much they're willing to kind of deal with maybe minor inconveniences of using the Bright Line and then getting, you know, on a car. I don't know if maybe they're going to be involved. I know that I think one of the members of the ownership group has investments in Lyft.
Right.
That certainly would be helpful in getting people there. But I just don't know what the calculus is that adds up to 18,000 pooling from the South Florida community. There are tons of soccer fans here. Again, I had a conversation with Fernando Fiore on my podcast about, you know, the snobbery that comes from with certain people. He doesn't understand it, why you'd be a fan of Barcelona and not want to go watch a team live. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you like the sport, why wouldn't you want to watch it live? And so can you convert those fans? There are so many groups of people that theoretically could be consumers. I don't know what it adds up to on a game day.
Yeah, we'll see. But obviously not the way it was supposed to turn out, which kind of feels like South Florida sports in general. All right, check out our watch party Tuesday night, Tap 42, Midtown. We got a good location, Miami Midtown. we'll be right there. There is apparently, because you know how I am about parking, there is apparently garage parking there, which should help. Giancarlo Navas, Alex Toledo, and others from Heat Beat will be there, as will myself and some others. We will watch the balls drop, basically, and see if the Heat get Zion, or more likely, because we'll be there, drop from 13 to 14. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fire in the Podcast. Thank you so much.
We plan to break our streak, and in a huge, huge way. If you're not familiar with Five Reason Sports watch parties, we are zero.
We're awful. So we're having a watch party for the NBA lottery. The Heat have the 13th best odds to move into the top four and the 13th best odds to get the number one overall pick. The only failure is if the team in 14th, which I believe is Sacramento, ends up jumping Miami, and Miami moves down from 13 to 14, which really incrementally isn't that big. So this is kind of only good things can happen watch party. If we move down to 14, we will definitely be blamed for that. Whereas if we succeed, we succeed in the most spectacular fashion, a 4.8% chance to finish in the top four. If we pull that off, our fortunes will change.
So here's where we're doing it. It's going to be in Dade County. Tap 42, familiar with Tap 42, great beer. We're going to have some free appetizers there.
The shop's at Midtown, 3252 Northeast 1st Avenue.
All right, so come watch Zion to the Heat.
Wow,
this is happening.
You're calling it.
Zion to the Heat. And then Pat Riley's going to be a genius all over again. See you Tuesday night, the 14th, Tap 42, Midtown Miami.